All right. Good afternoon. And thank you for coming out. So many people. Wow. So the goal of this talk, which is titled Getting Started with jQuery, is really getting you onto track with jQuery. So it's level 200, maybe it's level 250, 300 talk. We're going to see quite a lot of code. We're going to see a lot of jQuery. So let's get started straight away. Let me first introduce myself here. So my name is Gilles Clerin, coming from Belgium, working as a .NET solution architect at Ordina in Belgium, focusing a lot on application development, on app development lately, regional director and client dev MVP for Microsoft. You can contact me via email or via Twitter. You can find the contact details on this slide. Only technical questions, no personal stuff, by the way. I'm not into those things. All right, so what are we going to do today? So first, what is jQuery and why is jQuery so popular? If you look at the amount of people in this room, you see that jQuery really is popular. Why is it so popular? Then we're going to dive into jQuery. We're going to see a lot of demos. I'm going to start with three fundamentals that we really have to grasp before continuing, the jQuery fundamentals. Then we're going to take a look at how we can work with elements, create elements, manipulate elements on the fly. We're going to see how we can work with events. I'm going to briefly show you animations and effects that are included in jQuery Core. We're going to, of course, also see how we can communicate with the server. We're going to see how we can do AJAX calls directly from our jQuery code. Then we're going to also, in that part, see how we can work together with an MVC website, work together with a web forms website. I'm also going to show you a bit about jQuery UI. We're going to see a bit on what that adds into the animation stuff. And if we have time, we'll take a look at the CDN. What you'll also see every now and then is the little I Love jQuery bumper sticker. The bumper sticker, you all know them, as people haven't sticked on their car. The I Love jQuery bumper sticker, you'll see a pop-up during the talk every now and then. It really highlights a couple of interesting topics that used to be really hard without jQuery, but that jQuery really solved. And I hope by the end of the talk that you'll walk out here and say, well, now I do love jQuery. That's the goal of this talk. All right. So what is jQuery? jQuery is, in fact, nothing more than a cross-browser JavaScript library. That was already launched in 2006, so it's actually already pretty old. So that's already 8 years now. It's actually very popular. I think it is the most popular JavaScript library on the planet. And what its goal is basically is really simple. It helps us making JavaScript code and working with HTML a lot easier. It makes working with HTML easy to navigate through the DOM. It makes it easy to navigate and search for events. It makes it easy to do AJAX calls. All these things that used to be very hard with plain JavaScript and plain HTML become a lot easier using jQuery. As mentioned, already launched in 2006, it evolved in a version. There's now actually two branches. It's the 1.x branch and the 2.x branch. The 1.x branch is the one that you'll go for if you have a public website, because of the fact that the 2.x branch actually dropped support for the older Internet Explorer versions. But sadly, there are still people using those old browsers. So if you have a public-facing website, do go for the 1.x branch. They're actually, in terms of API, there's not a lot of differences between the two. So I'm going to use the 1.x branch here, but you can easily go to the 2.x branch if you don't want to include support for IE 6, 7, and 8. Now, why is jQuery so popular? There's so many JavaScript libraries out there. Why did jQuery become so popular? Well, what it tries to do is, let me rephrase that. A lot of other JavaScript libraries are trying to do stuff with JavaScript which are not very clean to do. They try to bend JavaScript into something that it is not, perhaps into an object-oriented language, which it is not. jQuery doesn't do that, and it aims at leveraging what you already know about JavaScript, about HTML, and about CSS. So it really doesn't you don't have to learn a lot of new stuff to start working with jQuery. It also has a very easy-to-learn syntax. If you look at this code, it's actually really easy to read what it does. You can, by simply looking at that, if you've never seen a jQuery line of jQuery code before, you'll probably understand what this is doing.
It's really simple what this is doing. It's a very lightweight syntax. It's also very extensible. There's a lot of plugins available, so if you're not into finding or writing always the code for specific tasks, chances are that you'll find a plugin that puts you on your way. It's really easy to extend. And there's also a very rich community around it. And also it's also very important that Microsoft has jQuery on its radar. Already a couple of years, it has been included with a lot of Visual Studio stuff. If you start using it, you're not alone. A lot of the top 500 companies, I don't know how many, quite a lot actually, are using jQuery for their public-facing websites. So you're not alone, meaning that you're not going to be the only one using it. You're also not going to be the only one needing support for it. So as mentioned, a rich community makes sure that you get always the best support for it. So as mentioned, Microsoft has also invested a lot in jQuery. It is, it's on their radar, definitely. It's on their radar since Visual Studio 2010, if I'm not mistaken. Since then, they include jQuery with every MVC and WebForms project. They also have a CDN for it. We'll see that at the end of the talk. Microsoft was a contributor, is a contributor, yeah, they were a contributor. So I think it was in 2010 that Microsoft became an official contributor to the jQuery project. And they actually released a couple of official plugins that were supposed to make it into jQuery, but actually didn't make it in the end. And also the templating engine, the data linking, which is some kind of data binding, and the globalization plugin. They're not supported anymore. But still, Microsoft and jQuery go hand in hand nowadays. And finally, the last reason that I'm going to give you why jQuery is so popular is that it helps us in writing unobtrusive JavaScript. Now, what is unobtrusive JavaScript? Well, take a step back and think of the first time that you wrote ASP.NET WebForms code. What were you impressed with? With the fact that you didn't have to mix code behind with your markup code, right? Because if you were coming from ASP 3, it was all one big spaghetti. Why do we still do that in JavaScript and HTML? Why would we actually mix functionality in JavaScript with markup code? Well, that's not a good idea. And so writing an obtrusive JavaScript is basically the way to go, making sure that your markup code is split from your functionality that you write in JavaScript. And you can do it this way. Well, like you see here, you can do a get element by ID, which extracts an element, and then you can do stuff with that thing. Now, if you have to do it yourself, this is going to be a lot of work. Plus, if you don't put this code in a separate file, that code gets downloaded every time, which is not good either. So what you end up with is with the idea that unobtrusiveness is the way to go. Now, even if you would have to write this yourself, it's possible, but it would take you a lot of time. Well, jQuery is actually written with this in mind and actually makes it easy to write all your JavaScript code in an unobtrusive way. All right. So now we've seen why jQuery is so popular. Let's now take a look at how we can work with it. There's basically three fundamental things that you have to understand before you can actually start working with jQuery. I call them the jQuery fundamentals. The first thing is that dollar sign. If you've ever seen jQuery code, you've seen that dollar sign. That dollar sign actually is called the jQuery function, or the dollar function. And what this thing will actually do, when you call it, you pass it a so-called selector. That's one of the other fundamentals. I'm going to talk about that in just a second. So you pass it a selector, and it will return to you an object that contains an array of elements. It is called a wrapped set. So you pass it a selector, basically a query, and it will look for elements that match that selector in the DOM. You get back an array of elements, and you can start doing stuff on that on those elements. So for example, what you see there is, I'm going to call a selector, we'll talk about that in just a second, to that jQuery function, and I'm going to do stuff with that. So I get an array, and I'm going to do stuff with those elements. It's as simple as that. Most of the time, the functions, like the show function that you see here, are actually returning the same wrapped set, the same array. And that's why you always see, when people are doing jQuery, so-called chains of jQuery calls. Because all these functions return, normally they return the same wrapped set. So people write long jQuery statements because they all dive on, or they all work on that same jQuery function. That is the first fundamental. The second fundamental is the ready handler. If you think about when you write JavaScript, when is your code supposed to run? Well, the answer is when the DOM elements are ready. That is the time that I want to run my JavaScript code. Now, the problem is, when are you going to fire that? Maybe you're going to call your JavaScript code in the window.unload. Well, the problem is, if you do that, the window unload will actually only fire when the entire page is ready. And that includes even external loading external images. And if those images are coming from a slow external server, your window unload will fire way too late, which is not good, because then your state is, of the page is not going to be good for some seconds, because the page it didn't run the JavaScript code, and it may look inconsistent, which is not what you want. So that is actually something difficult to get right. And the answer is really simple, because jQuery solves this problem in a cross-browser way. That's also why you see the I Love jQuery bumper sticker there. What jQuery will do, it will add the so-called ready handler. And the ready handler is basically what you're going to do is going to call the jQuery function on the document, .ready, and you pass it a function, and in there you can write your jQuery code. Making sure that the code that is inside of this ready function is always executed when the DOM is ready. Not the entire page, the DOM, because that's what we need. Then we can run our JavaScript code. You never see, it's very rare that you see the code written in the .ready way of writing the code. Most of the time you see the shortened way, which is simply the $, then the function, which then contains your JavaScript code. The third fundamental is what I already talked about in the beginning, selectors. To the jQuery function, we're going to have to pass something. Most of the time, this is going to be a selector. A selector is basically, or selectors in general, are basically the heart of jQuery. Now, the jQuery function, the dollar with the function behind it, is overloaded. And we'll talk about the overloading in jQuery more. A lot of jQuery functions are actually overloaded. And the most basic jQuery function is not an exception to that rule. What you see here is that the jQuery function itself can be passed two things, either making a selection using a selector or creating elements on the fly. I'm going to first show you selectors because those are the most important thing. So what can we pass to the jQuery function? Basically, the answer is simple, CSS selectors. If you know CSS tree, it's the same thing. Think of what I said in the beginning. jQuery aims at leveraging what you already know. CSS in this case. So for the first code sample there is actually going to ask to jQuery, give me all the anchor tags with a class, some class applied on it, that live within a paragraph. So what that is going to do is going to search for those things and give them back to me in a wrapped set. And I can do stuff with those elements. Boom, finished. That's jQuery function. So selectors can, of course, be more complex. We can, for example, use a comma to make a combination of the two. We can use child selectors, for example. The third one says, give me all the anchor tags that are directly within an li element, that are direct children of a ul which has a class applied on it, some list. Direct children only. There cannot be an extra level in between. We can also do attribute selections. The first one is going to say, give me all the anchor tags that have an href that contains this particular link. Or give me all the spans, the second one, that have a class that starts with sum. The third one is actually saying, or the last one is actually saying, give me all the spans that simply have a class applied on it. CSS selectors. There's, of course, many more. We can do selections based on the position. Give me the first anchor tag. Give me all the even divs. So it's going to run through your DOM and select all the divs that have an even number. Or more complex things with tables. And then there's pseudo classes. Give me all the checked inputs. Give me all the password fields, colon password. And also negation is possible. Give me all the inputs which are not checked. Very simple to select elements on your in your DOM. There's a huge list of CSS selectors. We can easily talk an hour, I think, with all the going through all the CSS selectors. I'm not going to do that. I don't think that's very useful. Simply go over to this link, and you'll find an entire list of all CSS tree selectors. Don't worry. If you're running this code on a non-CSS tree compliant browser, it will still work, because jQuery has this CSS selector engine built in. So it's not required. It's not going to have problems running on IE6 or IE7 or IE8. Okay, so let's first take a look at the first demo. So I'm going to show you a couple of demos, quite a lot actually. So This is not supposed to be the start page. There we go. Gonna put it here. There we go. So, no, needed the second one. There we go. So, hope this is readable. Let me put it a bit bigger. Sorry for that. That's quite large, actually. All right. So the first one is a simple selector. Give me all the spans that live within a div, and it's going to highlight them. Let's take a look at the code in one go. Solution Explorer, selector number two. So what you see here is the long version of the ready handler. It's going to run when the DOM is ready. And inside of that, I'm going to run my jQuery code. That jQuery code runs when the page or the DOM is ready loading. What do I have here? I'm going to select all the spans that live within a div, give me those back in a rep set, and I'm going to call the add class on that. The second one is combining that with the UL. This one is using direct child selection. So that's if we click on that, you'll see that only a couple are selected. That's because there's other attributes in between there which doesn't highlight. Oops, that's for the previous demo. Sorry, that was the previous session. Give me, for example, all the links that start with HTTP. For example, I can then apply a class on them, highlighting them and putting a little icon next to them. Let me close down all these demos. That's my mistake. I didn't reboot my machine. Sorry for that. Closing down, because otherwise I'm going to keep on flying in those demos. Don't close the desktop. Thank you. There we go. All right. There's another one open. I did quite a lot of demos earlier already. Okay, so let's take a look at this. As you see here, attribute selections. With an attribute, we use square brackets to pass the attribute for the anchor tag. Let's take a look at this one over here. Go back. Thank you. There we go. Based on the position, give me the first link, or give me the even allies. Can do some stuff with that. So give me the first anchor tag. Give me the even allies. And the last one is using some form fields. Give me the checked inputs. It's highlighting this one and this one. It's really hard to see. Highlight the password field and so on and so forth. So that's pseudo classes. So if we look at the code for those, they are using always that colon syntax. So, for example, give me the password fields on this particular page, and then I want to do stuff with it. Right? I think this is pretty easy to understand. Let's go back to the slides for just a minute. So I said first earlier that jQuery is using a lot of overloading for its functions, and the jQuery function itself is not an exception to that rule. In fact, what you can pass to the jQuery function is either the selector thing, what I just showed you. Alternatively, you can also pass to the jQuery function an HTML string. And what it will then do is create that HTML string on the fly, or the elements, I should say. So what I'm going to do here, let's, for example, take a look at the first sample. I'm passing it a div between single quotes, by the way. And so what it's going to do is going to create a wrapped set with that particular div in there that lives in memory, and I can do stuff with it. I can append that, for example, to the body. So it will dynamically generate me some DOM elements. Let me show you that in a demo. So creating elements. I can now, for example, append an image. That's what you see here. Let's take a look at the code for this. Creating elements. That was this one. So notice that I'm now passing to my jQuery function an image tag, HTML. A fully declared image tag with a source in there. It's going to return me a wrapped set with that image element in there, and then I'm going to ask it to append that to the body. That's what you saw happening in the demo. Right? Don't think that's... We're going to do questions at the end, otherwise we're not going to get there. Sorry, because it's a big room. If I start doing questions, we may not get through it. So, all right. We have the wrapped set. An array of elements, DOM elements. Once we have those elements, we can do a lot of things with those. That's probably the goal of selecting them in the first place. We can, of course, do things with the entire set, or we can do things with the individual elements of that set. Remember, it's an array. So it's an array, so you can do array operations on top of it. For example, you can call and a jQuery function that returns you a wrapped set with all anchor tags on the page, give me the size of that wrapped set. So many elements are in there. Or I can, of course, access the individual elements. It's an array, so I can ask it to return me either with square brackets an element with an ID 0, for example, or I always can call the get 0, which is going to return me an element. I can also loop over the wrapped set. Remember, it's an array. I can loop over that array. So I can say, I can do that using the each function. Give me all the images and loop over those images. And that is accepting another function. And notice that, and let me enlarge it a bit because I see that people are stretching them a bit in the back. Hope this is more readable now. So what you see here is that to that each function, I'm passing a function, and inside of that function, the this will be pointing to that selected image that we're looping over to the loop. All right. We can also combine sets. For example, we can say, give me all the anchor tags which have a clause applied on it, and combine that with another set which has all the anchor tags which have an href defined. We can also, for example, filter. And a filter is a bit of a special case. Remember that I said earlier that normally the most functions will actually return the same wrapped set. Now, a filter is, of course, going to filter down that wrapped set. So that's a bit of an exception. So, for example, here I'm going to say, give me all the anchor tags, and then filter that collection down on the ones having an href that starts with HTTP. If you want to stop the filter at some point and return to the original wrapped set, you can do that, by the way, with the end function. All right. Let's take a look at another demo. So we're going to work with the entire set now. So there's a number of lists here. Links here, I should say. Not all of these links are actually links. So if I call, if I ask how many do go to the external sites, it's actually saying 2, and that's correct. There's only this one and this one. These ones are just fake links, basically. So what I did here, working with set number 1. So I asked it to give me back a wrapped set for all the anchor tags that have an href that starts with HTTP, give me the size of that wrapped set. I can also combine wrapped sets, like I said in the slides. So give me, in this case, all the anchor tags that have a class and attached to that, the ones that have an href and all the ones that have an attribute class defined on them. Combining wrapped sets. Oops, that's not what I meant to do. There we go. Now, of course, you can work with the individual elements. So, for example, we can loop, and looping was done with that each function that I just showed you in the slides. For example, here, I'm going to ask, give me all the LIs living within a UL, and on that, do an each function, looping through the images, and that using that this keyword again, and that will point to the individual element that we're working with at that point. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to define two classes and apply them alternatively. So that's what you see happening here. For example, you can also ask a jQuery, filter all the images which don't contain a cow. That's, of course, a very intelligent function in jQuery. It's highlighting them, see? It's filtering the ones which are not cow. So it's highlighting those two. How is it doing that? There's, of course, no cow search function in jQuery. So it is this one, actually, that you saw. It's very simple. If the image tag, or the source for that image tag, does not contain the word cows, it's not highlighting them. That's what it's doing. That's basically it. All right. Let's go back to the slides for now. So that's working with the individual elements, or accessing the individual elements, I should say. Now, once you have the individual elements, you need to do stuff with it. I showed you a couple of things already, but how are we actually going to do that? Well, most of the time, you're going to use the attribute function. The attribute function allows you to either set an attribute or get the current value of an attribute. Again, overloading is happening here. So the attribute function accepts either one or two parameters. If you pass one, it's going to return the attribute value. If you pass two values, well, it's then going to set the attribute value. So in the first demo there, you see that I'm getting an image with the ID my image, and or a div with my image, and I'm going to No, it's got, yeah, probably going to be an image, hopefully. And I'm going to change the attribute value. I pass only the alt. What did I say? Change? No, I'm going to return it. Sorry. The second and the third one are actually accepting two parameters. So in that case, I'm going to set the value. So I'm going to first set the alt value being me in Paris. It can, of course, also work with CSS classes, the add class, the has class, the toggle class, and the remove class functions allow us to apply existing CSS classes or remove existing CSS classes on elements. You can also use directly the CSS function, which accepts either a key value, the key being the CSS value, the value being the value for that value, or you can also pass it an object containing more than just one CSS property. I'm going to show you that in just a second. If you want to work with form fields, in general, what you can work with to get the value is the HTML function. Pretty simple function. The HTML function returns the current value of the HTML. For example, if you ask this on a div, it's going to get the content. If you pass it a value, it's again going to be overloaded, and it will set the HTML to be that value. If you work with form fields, on the other hand, so for example, if you have an input type is text, and you want to either get or set the value, you'll have to use the val function. Val function works for form fields, so getting or setting the value for a form field. Let's take a look at that. That's this one again. let's first take a look at the code, working with attributes, this one. So what I'm going to do here is I'm going to return the source attribute value for an element with the ID image 1. So I'm using the ATTR function, the attribute function, to do that. Let's take a look here. That's what you see here. So it's going to retrieve me the attribute value. Fantastic. The second one is going to change the alt for an image with ID 1. It's again overloaded the attribute function, like I said. So it's accepting two parameters in this case, so I'm going to set that value. Yeah, I can do that with the developer tools, but yeah, it's changing that value on the fly. Now, this is more visible. Let's take a look. If I click on these links, it's opening them directly in this browser window. It's pretty slow, there we go. But what I can do, that's quite big now. It's really big now, 260%, wow. There we go. What I can also do is, on the fly, using some jQuery, make sure that those links open in a new window. So I'm going to click on this thing here. And now, as you see, it's opening those links in an external window, which is cool. I can do that on the fly. How did I do that? That is this one. So what I did here is I retrieved all the anchor tags with an href that starts with HTTP, and then I ask it to change the attribute target to blank. So it's, even if it's not there, it's going to attach that attribute blank. And that's why those links are now opening in a new window. I can work with CSS. So I can change a CSS background color to nice pink. Wow. So that is this one. In this case, I use the CSS function to change one CSS value, the background color, to pink. Alternatively, I can also pass an object that contains a couple of values. So for example, I'm going to change a couple of properties here. The width, the height has been changed. That's what I did here. I retrieved all the images and I changed the CSS, passing in a couple of values for the properties. Right? So something else? Yeah. Let's reload that. If you want to get the HTML, so there is a little text block over here that I want to retrieve. I want to retrieve the value from that. So as you can see here, I've retrieved that value. And retrieving HTML values is done using the HTML functions, and we can also set the value. So in this case, I don't pass it any parameters, so I'm going to retrieve the HTML value. If I want to set the HTML value, simply pass it an attribute, and that is going to set the value for that element. The last thing for attributes is this one, working with form fields. So I'm going to enter some values here. I want to retrieve them. I can do that with jQuery. That's what you see here. So I'm retrieving those values. I can also set them. It's updating them. So in this case, we used the val function for that. So if I don't give it any value, then it's going to, or any parameter, it's going to set the value. Sorry, it's going to retrieve the value. If I pass it the value, it's going to set the value of that form field. All right. One of the biggest things that jQuery makes easy is working with events. Before I show you events, a bit of history on how we got where we are today, basically. When we were all young, maybe some of you were not born yet, I don't know, there was a time that we actually had two browsers, Internet Explorer and Netscape Navigator. Netscape Navigator actually introduced JavaScript events in the form of the so-called DOM-level null event model. And that was the thing that said onClick equals this JavaScript function. Now, that was very hard to work in an unobtrusive way. So that's why it was replaced over time in the so-called DOM-level 2 event model, which is actually what we still have today. And it's based on a method called @EventListener. Now, sadly, IE6 used the so-called attached event, which made it hard to make cross-browser HTML JavaScript code again. And that's, again, something that is solved with jQuery. Even if you have old browsers that you need to support, jQuery will make sure that it's easy to work or easy to attach events onto elements in an unobtrusive way, by the way. So how do jQuery events actually work? Well, there's a couple of methods to work with events. The most commonly used is the on function. The on function allows you to specify what event you want to, or what, yes, or what event and what function you want to link. For example, we have a jQuery function here that's going to retrieve an ID with an image with my image as the ID. And I pass it the on function. To the on function, I pass the click, which is the name of the event. And then the function is the code I want to execute when the click event on that element is firing. It's as simple as that. The on function is basically, if you've done jQuery in the past, this is replacing the bind and unbind. I think until jQuery 1.6, 1.8, some point, they removed the bind function and they replaced it with the on function. Unbinding, basically, is replaced with the off function, which removes the event handler, basically. This works, again, cross-browser. No problem to make this work. There's also a little variant, the one function. The one function is a bit like in Mission Impossible. You can only do it once. So that thing that says I'm going to destroy myself after I've executed, well, that's what the one function does. It will execute once and then destroy itself. It listens one, then automatically uses the off, basically. Let's take a look at this in demo. So, events. So there's a little image. Let me zoom out a little bit, because otherwise it's going to be hard to see. So there we have the image. I have a hover that is outputting some HTML. I can click on this. There's an alert popping up. And down here at the bottom, let me click on that again. Notice that there's some output here that says, hi there, you clicked me again. This is a once-in-a-lifetime click that didn't appear the second time because of the fact that I used that one function probably. All right, let's take a look at the code. Let's take a look at events, this one. So I get hold of that giraffe image, and then I use the on function a couple of times. So remember, it's always returning that same wrapped set. So I use the on function, I pass it my event I want to listen to, and then I pass the function I want to execute. I do again dot on, that's again on that same wrapped set, so again all the giraffe images, and attach another click event. So it's possible to attach more, which was originally not possible with JavaScript either. Then I also listen for the mouse over, and then I also execute the one function, which resulted in that alert popping up. All right, we're going to do questions at the end. Sorry, otherwise we're not going to get there. All right, so that's working with events. So We've already covered a couple of interesting things. Let's now take a look at animations in jQuery. jQuery Core, which is what we've looked at so far, is limited in what it can do visually. It is basically more the backend stuff, not the visual stuff. We're going to see more of that when we look at jQuery UI. Now, jQuery does have, however, some functionalities to do things like animations and effects, but it's pretty limited. The most basic animation function is hiding and showing something. That's basically an animation. I make something visible and I hide it again. The hide and the show and the toggle are going to be used for that. It can accept, again, some parameters. It's overloaded again. Parameters include the speed, which makes sure that which allows you to specify how fast the hiding and the showing should go. Or it can also accept a callback, a function that should be executed when the function is ready. Or when the animation is ready, I should say. Next to the hide and show, there's also a couple of other ones, like the slide up, slide down, which will slide up and slide down an element. The fade in, fade out. And if those don't satisfy your hunger for animations, you can also use the animate function. And the animate function is basically is a bit of a special case. It accepts, let's say, target values for CSS properties. So what it will do, let me highlight this a bit and make it a bit bigger. So what the animate function will accept is, for example, the opacity of the element that we want to use the animate function on should get an opacity of 25% over a time span slow. So what this is going to do, it's going to make sure that over a time span of, I think this is 1 second slow, it's going to change the opacity from its current value to 25%. That's what this thing will do. Let me show you that in the demo. Oops, did I close down the demo? Yeah, close it down, sorry. Come on, there we go. Now that's a bit too small, I think. Let's take a look at the basic animations. Hiding an image and showing it again. This is done by using the hide and show functions directly, not passing any parameters. So that's what we see here. That was the hide and the show. You can also pass it a value that can be an integer value in milliseconds, or let's say a known value to jQuery, which can be slow, for example. That is this one. I think that's 1 second, if I'm not mistaken. And then this one is hide, showing it again over the time span of 3 seconds. Go back. We can also use the fade in, fade out. So let's fade Bruce out a little bit. There we go. Now Bruce is gone. And let's fade Bruce in again. This is done using, well, I think it gets quite simple. This is done using the fade out and the fade in functions. You can also use the slide up and the slide down. First slide up and then slide down. There we go again. I'm not going to show you that. I think it's pretty simple. Slide up and slide down. Then, last one for animations is actually we're going to use the animate function. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to change the target values for that image, and it's going to do that over a time span. So as you see, it's expanding the width and the height, and then also changing the opacity over a time span. So how did we do that? Well, we used the animate function, passed it a couple of CSS values, and a time span of 3 seconds. So after 3 seconds, we arrive at that particular point. All right. Now, as mentioned, we are going to see a lot more UI stuff when we later look at jQuery UI. Let's take a look at AJAX. I think we all know what AJAX is. It stands for Asynchronous JavaScript and XML. And again, when we were young, in 1998 already, Microsoft introduced the ability to make asynchronous calls from script in the browser to basically refresh content without refreshing the entire page. That already worked in 1998. It did work, however, through the use of an ActiveX component. And the thing is that later on, mainly when Gmail started to exist, a lot of people started working with AJAX calls. and the XML HTTP request object. Now, sadly, Microsoft continued for quite a long time to use this as an to use or implement the functionality to do Ajax calls as an ActiveX object, and that is why again jQuery solved the browser inconsistencies, and again made it easy to either check or relieve us, let's say, from doing this ugly check, checking if we have access to the XML HTTP request object, and otherwise do something else. You never have to write this code with jQuery. It does that automatically for you. Again, the I Love jQuery bumper sticker is in place here. Now, how do we work with jQuery, with Ajax from jQuery? Well, what is doing an Ajax call, actually? It is nothing else than loading a web resource, loading the contents into your current page. There's a couple of functions, there's quite a lot of functions that you can actually use for that. The load function is probably the easiest one. The load function accepts a couple of parameters. The first one is the resource to load. Test.html in this case will be loaded asynchronously. I can optionally pass it parameters, which will result in the load doing a post. If I don't pass parameters, then it will do a get. So it either returns, result in a get or a post. And the third parameter, or the second if you omit the parameters, the third one is a function that I want, that I can call, a callback function, when the request is finished loading. It's a callback function, basically. And there's also, if you don't want the load function making the decision if it should either be a get or a post, you can use the get.json, or the post function directly, which will more or less do the same thing. Let me show you the basic Ajax with load, and then we're going to take a look at another one. First, we'll take a look at the load function. So this is my current page. I'm going to click on this link, and it's going to load in content dynamically. No repost of my page, dynamic loading of my content. So how did I do that? Well, for this, I got hold of a div, and on that div, I'm going to call the load function. This is going to return in a get being launched to load that page to load.htm. If I want, I can also call a callback. There we go. So that callback function was called when the Ajax call, the load call, was finished. That's what you see here. I pass it an extra function to load. I can also, let's take a look at this one, call the load function to load in a non-existing page.html, and then I can pass in the function which accepts the response, the status, and the XML HTTP request object, and I can check if the status is error, and I can handle that gracefully. So that will result in the message being shown on this page here. I can also do this in combination with, for example, an ASHX file, an HTTP handler. Let me show you that handler first. So that is this one. This is an HTTP... I can remove this if I want. It doesn't matter. It's basically to show slow internet. But so this is an HTTP handler that will return some options. Options that I can load into a select, an input type select. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to load in onto a select with that load function the result of the call to that HTTP handler. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to load those seasons. It's compiling, and boom, there we have the seasons. If I want to have control over either this resulting in a get or a post, I can use the get function, which works in a very similar way, like I said. It also accepts the address to load, parameters, if necessary, and then a function, which is the callback function, which is, again, optional. Now, the get.json, the load, they're quite okay, but if we want more control, we can use, let's say, the mother of all Ajax functions, which is the Ajax function. An Ajax function has a huge list of properties that we can specify, and that's also why the Ajax function is often combined with the Ajax setup function, which allows us to specify defaults for doing Ajax calls using the Ajax function. So all the calls on that page will then result in these defaults for the calls being used.
It is also possible, by the way, to what actually will happen, let's say, there will be feedback on the progress of the AJAX call when you use the AJAX function. What it will actually do, it will send out global events over the entire DOM, and this can then be used to, for example, hide and show a loading GIF or a loading animation or something. So it will actually allow you to hide and show stuff based on these events being fired on other on the entire DOM, and you can subscribe for these events on your other elements and then do stuff with hiding and showing stuff. For example, the AJAX start will fire when the AJAX call is launched. The AJAX success will make sure that you get notification when the AJAX call is completed. For example, with success, and then you can hide something again. Let me show you that in a demo as well. Let's go here. That's AJAX, oops, that's AJAX number 3. This one. So I'm gonna call the AJAX function now to load in. Same thing. So how did I now do this? The result is, of course, the same. So I now used this particular call here, the AJAX function. It accepts quite a lot of parameters, like I said. You can move a lot of some of these to the AJAX setup. It accepts the type, being a get, the URL, what do I have to load now? The data type is, in this case, HTML. There's HTML coming back. Then on success, I want to execute this function, and on error, I want to execute this function. As you see, the AJAX has a lot more functions than what the default load and get will offer you. We'll see more of this when we look at the next demo, when we look at MVC and web forms. All right. Like I said in the beginning, Microsoft really invests a lot in jQuery. Since Visual Studio 2010, jQuery is included in every new project, both MVC and web forms. Even with NuGet, you can easily update your jQuery packages. It is really easy to use jQuery in combination with both MVC and web forms. Instead of talking about this, let me show you this in a couple of demos. So let's go to... Let's first take a look at the web forms. All right. So this is a web forms demo, probably the only web forms demo at this conference. I didn't have to show you this. There we go. So what I'm going to do is, So I have this very simple text box here. And when I click on this, it's going to save that item to a UL. Wow, you can say, but it's actually using server-side code as well. So like a little to-do application. Now, how does it actually work? So what I'm using for that is web forms. Not this one, please. There we go. What I'm using for that is it's a basic page. But it is possible in web forms to add the attribute web method on top of a function, which is called a page method, if I'm not mistaken. And in this case, so what this will actually do, it will expose this method to be called from a code. To be called actually as a web method, as a service method. So a page can actually contain a service method. This method is called addItem. It accepts a string which has the name, and it will return an instance of type item. An item has item name defined on it. That's the setup. And what this will then do, so this can then, for example, save something to a database, and it will, in the end, return that particular item to the clients again. That's what my page method will do. So what did I now do in my code, in my jQuery code? Well, I used an AJAX call. So the AJAX is now posting, because it's sending data to my server. I'm going to insert something in the database, basically. What am I going to do? I'm going to send over some JSON. The data type is JSON, and I'm going to send that to default.aspx /the name of the method, /addItem.
What is the data that I'm going to send? Well, I'm creating a variable of, named DTO, which has a name property, basically, and that is the value of a field called item name field. That was my text box. The data that I'm going to send is the JSON stringification of that DTO. And on success, what I'm going to do is I'm going to create an li. Notice that there's quotes around it. And I'm going to set the text of that li to the response. That's what came in from the service. Dot D, it always, that's the thing from web forms, it always attaches dot D as a namespace. Dot item name, and dot item name was the thing that we had here on the item that was being returned. And then I'm going to append that li that I just created to my UL, which is called items. And I'm going to clear my text box again. All right? That's how you can easily work with jQuery from web forms. It, of course, works. Now, there's not that many people still doing web forms, I assume. There's more people doing MVC, so let's take a look at how this works from MVC, for example. So, I'm going to run the demo. Let's, in the meantime, while it's running, let's already take a look at the controller. It's a very simple controller, home controller. This one is returning a string. It's called post from Ajax. So it's going to simply return me a string. In the view, that is this one, what I'm going to do is I'm going to do a post to slash home slash post from Ajax, and I'm going to get back a string that I'm going to use to put in as the HTML content for a div. So that's what I'm doing here. I'm going to post something, and it actually appeared over here. I can also enter a value here and pass that parameter to my controller method. So that's what the next call will do. So let's first take a look at the controller. So this one is now accepting a value named some value. Post from Ajax, it's again going to return a string. So it's not much of a difference here, but it is going to post it parameter over here. So it's using the post again. It's now passing in a value. Some value dot equals to param, and param is the value for the text field. And again, on success, I get back the HTML. The next one is, let's use this one. I'm going to create in a database a person. That's what I'm doing here. So it again did this in combination with a controller method. So it's, this is a sample, so don't look at what the text is that is appearing. So what did we do here? I created the so-called person on the client, and I sent that over to my service, to my controller method, I should say. So let's take a look at the controller first, the home controller. That's this one over here. This one. So I created a so-called person input model. That's an object that my client is going to send over using the call to save. And that I'm going to then use some MVC code, going to save to my database or something. The most important thing is, of course, the Ajax code here. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to call my getPerson method, which is going to fill in, create an object, basically, with a name and an age. Yeah. Then I'm going to use stringification on that object again to get my JSON. And then I'm going to call, using the Ajax function in this case, as the URL, it is the home slash save. So that's the home slash save. It's again going to be a post. The data type is JSON, and the data that I'm going to send is the JSON stringification of that person. Because of the fact that I also have name and age here, the input model, or the person input model, has the same property names. It's going to map those. That's because of MVC, by the way. And that's how my jQuery could actually talk with an MVC action method to call or to save something in the database. All right? That's how easy it is actually to call web forms, web form endpoints basically, and MVC controller methods directly from agents. Let's continue. That was this. Now, we already mentioned in the previous part that jQuery itself, so jQuery Core, does not have that many visual methods, basically, methods that do visual stuff. We had the hide and the show, the fade in, the fade out, but it's not that rich in the UI area as it should. That is why there's a huge plugin, I think it's probably the biggest plugin for jQuery, and that's called jQuery UI. And like the name implies, this does UI stuff, pretty simple. What does it include? It actually includes three basic things: the ability to do effects, interactions, and widgets. So effects basically are evolvements of the things that you have in jQuery Core. Interactions are basically things that you get on top of HTML, in ways to interact with HTML. And widgets are controls. And they can all be themed. And on the jQuery UI website, there's a so-called theme roller that allows you to do your theming. And the file that you have to include to give support in your application for jQuery UI is called jQuery-UI.js. So I'm not going to show you theming. It is possible to do theming on top of what jQuery UI comes with. On the website, there's a so-called theme roller, which allows you to tweak the CSS before you download it. You can also, of course, edit the CSS directly. I'm not going to spend time there. So basically, there's three big things coming with jQuery: effects, interactions, and widgets. So we're going to first take a look at effects. So as mentioned, they are a variation, an extension, on top of the core jQuery UI effects. The main method that jQuery UI, as a plugin, adds on top of jQuery is called the effect method. And the effect method accepts as the first, probably the most important parameter, the name of the effect you want to apply. That's the type of the effect. Again, it accepts more parameters. There's a couple of options that you can pass. There's a speed, a callback, and so on and so forth. So we're going to show you that in just a second. Also, the existing methods, like show, like fade in, fade out, they all have variations in jQuery UI as well, which you gain support for when you add jQuery UI. So it is possible to now use the show method with more parameters. You can also use positioning. That's the position method. Let me show you that a bit bigger here. The position method accepts a couple of position values to reposition elements on the page. Also possible. Let me show you those jQuery effects. I haven't opened it yet. Let's do that now. All right. So, a couple of effects. You can, let me zoom out a little bit because this is a bit too big. This one. You can shake things, or shake a bit more. This is useful in every business application. This is using that simple effect method. So it is demo number 9. Sorry. So as mentioned, this is using the effect function, and it accepts the name or the type of effect you want to apply, optionally with more parameters. So the first one was the default shake. This is actually accepting more parameters to make it go a bit further. So you can put this in 300, and then it's going to shake a bit. Of course, after you reload, so it shake a bit more. You can do explosions and implosions, and more pieces and stuff like that. You can also do puffing, basically blowing something away. Really useful. This one is a bit more useful, the highlight. So basically, you can highlight stuff when the user interacts with the page.
Or you can also do a transfer, so putting the focus from one element to the other element, also included. The code is really simple. Let me go to number, was it two? Yeah, no, that was three. So again, all the effect function does is basically accepting the type of parameter or the type of function that you want to, type of effect you want to apply. And then the last one here is, that's the one that actually doesn't use the effect. Let me show you the code first. So in this case, we are extending the existing show and hide functions, for example. This also is only possible if you just include jQuery UI, and it now accepts the name of the accepts an extra parameter, the type of function you want to do. So this is going to hide with puff and then show with puff. Wow, great. So this is this is possible. It allows you to make some more interactive things or animated stuff in your UI. The second one that jQuery UI adds is probably more interesting. That's interactions. Now, out of the box, HTML doesn't have a lot of ways to interact with it. HTML5 adds a few things, like support for drag and drop. jQuery UI also has support for drag and drop. The thing is, jQuery UI, where it is better than HTML5, is that jQuery UI is supported in every browser. Some HTML5 things are not supported in every browser. If you want to make sure that everything works cross-browser, it's probably more interesting to take a look at jQuery UI than some HTML5 things. What does it do? It adds support for dragging and dropping, sorting, resizing, and selecting. Now, what is dragging? I assume that everyone knows what dragging is. It basically allows you to create or to make elements draggable. A div, an image, and stuff like that can then be dragged. We're all used to dragging, adding something to a shopping cart or something. Well, that's what the dragging will allow us to do, drag something into an HTML page. How do you do it? Well, there's an attribute for that or a function for that called the draggable function, again, accepting quite a lot of parameters. Let me show you that. Over here. So I'm going to drag something. So by default, that's not what's supposed to happen. Cross-browser, by the way. Let's run that again. Sorry. So by default, it is not draggable, of course. Make it a bit bigger again. So when I now apply the draggable onto my element, notice that it's draggable and it's showing the position of the 0, 0, actually. It's very, very, very punctual, as you can see. I can pass a couple of extra parameters. So by default, I just applied the draggable. That's number 10. So in the first case, I just used the draggable, as you can see here. If I pass it some parameters, there's options what you can do. You can, for example, specify that you can drag only within the parent, as you can see here. I can scroll and revert. So now I can scroll, and it goes back to the original position. I can change the cursor while dragging, and also clone, another option that we have. I can change the opacity, so and only start when I have an offset. So I'm dragging now, and it only starts after a number of pixels have been passed. This all works because of some overloads that we have by passing in, again, some extra functions on top, or extra values as parameters on the draggable function. Let me show you the other ones. So we have the ability to do dropping. So what I'm now going to do is I'm going to basically create a draggable image. And also, the div down here at the bottom is going to accept what I've dragged onto it. If you've done HTML5, this works with data transfers, but it's a very similar way of doing it here. So let's first take a look at how it works. So I'm going to make my image draggable, and I'm going to create... So now I can drag my images, but it's not doing anything yet. So when I now create a drop zone, there we go. So now you see that the images are basically... being transferred, let's say, from the draggable element onto the drop zone. Let's take a look at how that is done. Well, it's pretty simple as well. So we have, again, the draggable, and then creating the drop zone is done by using the droppable
function, which actually makes an element into a place where you can drop stuff onto it. All right. The third and final thing that jQuery UI can do for us is adding support for extra HTML controls. So out of the box, HTML, the previous version, let's say, is pretty limited in the things that it can do. It is not it doesn't have a lot of controls, input controls. HTML5 adds quite a few, but they're also not cross-browser well-supported yet. So until that is the case, it's probably a good idea to take a look at jQuery UI. jQuery UI adds a lot of extra controls built on top of the existing ones, and is also, of course, guaranteed to work cross-browser. What does it add? Support for buttons. I'm going to show you buttons in just a second. Basically, it's theming support for buttons. Sliders, progress bars, auto-completion, tabs, date pickers, dialog boxes, all kinds of interesting things that we're used to having or that we should have in HTML but don't get out of the box. Instead of showing it here, I'm going to show you the demo straight away. So let's go here. Let's take a look first at buttons, for example. So these are the default buttons, which are not styled by default. So I can now use the button function in jQuery UI, which will automatically theme my buttons to become more in line with my regular layout. I can do the same with radio buttons and checkboxes, and I can also even add icons on top of that. That uses sprites, by the way, so the big image file, and then you use just a part of it. That's basically doing what we're doing here as well. So how are we doing that? That was the button thing. This is, again, something coming from jQuery UI. So we are using the button function or the button set, depending on what we're doing. So we can also use icons, like I said here. That's probably not the most interesting one. A more interesting one is date picker. By default, people are stupid, and they're not good at entering dates. And also, of course, of regional settings, dates are difficult to enter. So we need something like a date picker. So when I click here, it's going to update this text field to have a date picker in there. So simply tapping or clicking into that text box, that input, makes this field a date picker. The function to do this is pretty complicated. You get hold of your field, and you call the .datePicker function. And your field is a date picker, allowing the user to select the date in the correct format. Another cool one is the dialog box. A dialog box is, again, something that's pretty hard to create. Notice that I have some text on here. Maybe show first dialog box that this is a plain div in which my content is located. In a real application, you don't have to show that, of course. But just to show you that this is a div. What I'm now going to do is I'm going to make this into a jQuery dialog box. Boom. There we have a jQuery dialog box. So it basically took that div and made it into a dialog box. That's what you see happening here. It's also possible to do that with more options. And let's zoom out a little bit. So notice that I have some buttons here. And I have a function that happens when I click on the yes and the no. And it will slide away, basically. So how did we do that? Let's take a look at the last one in straight away. It was already open. So I took my div. It has to be a div, by the way, that you use the dialog on. I use the dot dialog, the dialog function. I pass it a couple of parameters, so like the auto open, the close on escape, being draggable, being resizable. How is it hiding? Well, it was losing that slide. Which buttons did we want to include? The yes and the no button. And on clicking on the yes, I want this code to execute. Clicking on the no, I want this code to execute. And so on and so forth. So that's how easy it is to include support for a dialog box inside of your code. All right. I've already talked about that. The last thing I want to show you is, what if something is missing in jQuery? It's very well possible. It's probably going to be the case. Well, jQuery UI in itself solved the fact that UI stuff is missing in jQuery by adding it as a plugin. When you miss something in jQuery, chances are that someone already created it as a jQuery plugin, making it possible to include it directly in your code. So there's a lot of existing plugins on all source code sites that you can that you know that host like Google Code and jQuery plugin repository. There's many plugins already available. Or you can write one yourself. Let's do those things. First, I'm going to show you how we can use an existing plugin. So I simply went to jQuery.com and the plugin website. And on there, I downloaded, I think it was in the top 10 of popular ones. So I downloaded one of those plugins. And it is called a tag text box, I think it's called. So what it's going to do, it's going to allow me to create a text box, an input, and when I tap a comma, it's going to put that in front of the text box. So that's not by default there in jQuery UI. So I type something, tag days, comma, and let me zoom in a bit. So what it does, it moves that as a tag in front of the text box. Something that we often need in websites nowadays. So I didn't write that myself. So someone else wrote it. And that person was kind enough to include his jQuery code. That's this one. We included that jQuery code here at the top, of course, after defining jQuery. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to use the function that this plugin defines, which is called .textManager. Simply call that onto my text box, add support for that inside of my jQuery page. .textManager, that's the function that was added by the guy that wrote this plugin. All right? It's as simple as that. Now, I know that probably the right plugin is not going to exist. So you can also write your own plugins, and it's actually really simple. Writing functionality or wrapping functionality inside of a jQuery plugin is easy because then you can always reuse it by simply including that jQuery or the JavaScript file, and from then on you have your own extension written on top of jQuery. Now, how does it work? What you're going to do is you're going to create new wrapper methods. That's basically what you're going to do. Behind the scenes, it does what that last line of text says there. It will add your method as a property on the fn object within the dollar namespace. So basically what you're going to do is you're going to create a new method on the fn object within the dollar namespace, within the jQuery namespace. Let me show you that. So I have it open already, yeah? Oops. So I've written a couple of plugins here, very simple, to show you what's going on behind the scenes. So my plugin here is making whatever I pass it red. The content is going to be red. The make it red plugin will make my content red. Wow. How does it work? Well, I have in my Visual Studio, in my scripts folder, I have a couple of plugins, jQuery.jill.makeitred. Let's open that one first. Like I said in the slides, what I'm going to add is my function on the fn object within the dollar namespace. I write my function. What I'm going to do in there is return this thing and apply the CSS function. Apply the CSS function on it. Yeah, color being red. It's as simple as that. In my code, I now add, of course, support for my plugin. That's this one, and then I use the make it red. That's now available as a method within my jQuery. Very simple. Instead of having to write that code every time, I now include it as a plugin. Simple as that. I can make it a bit more complex. Make it red or blue. How is this written? Well, making it red or blue is, again, a function on the fn object within the dollar namespace. And what we're then going to do is we're going to loop over this, and we're going to either give it red or blue. Now, it gets more interesting when, in my plugin, I accept also parameters. That's what I'm doing here. So the two last ones here are actually using, let me refresh it first. So these ones are actually using the same plugin. This one is not passing parameters. This one is. Let me show you how. So in my plugin, I first define default options.
The default options, so I created a variable local options. I'm going to check if the user of my plugin is actually passing me parameters or not. If that is not the case, I use my defaults, which are defined down here at the bottom. The even color is red, the odd color is blue. That's two variables that I create. And if the user passes in options, then I'm going to use the options. And then I'm going to use, again, that each function. When I now call my jQuery plugin, that's what I'm going to do here. First, I call the default, passing in no options at all. But then the last time, I'm actually passing in, I'm creating an options object that says even color is yellow, odd color is green, and I then apply that function, passing in that parameter, which applied the different colors. All right, so I'm almost out of time. So let's go to the summary. So where does all the love for jQuery come from? Well, I hope I've convinced you that it is very easy to learn jQuery. I don't think there's a lot of question marks above your heads floating around saying, what is this dude talking about? It's very easy to understand. It is cross-browser. It's making sure that everything that you write behind the scenes works on each and every browser. It works easy with MVC and web forms. It works easy with, it has an easy eventing model. And it's easily extensible, tons of plugins already written. And if you need your own, you can write them easily yourself. So I hope you leave this room now saying, I love jQuery too. Thanks for being here. Enjoy the rest of the conference.